Let me share with you just a few things. I want to get into the Gospel of Luke and share with you some things that we didn't get to this morning. One of the areas which our Lord Jesus was involved was presenting himself to the people as the king. And I would like very much to share with you what happened when he did this. And just with these few thoughts, we will conclude this time together. But let me share with you from the 19th of Luke, Luke 19, and especially verse 38. Verse 38. Now, if you have a Bible there, and I know most of you do, also turn to the second chapter of Luke and look at verse 14. Now, you discover in verse 38 of 19 these words. The people said, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." When the angels came and to proclaim the birth of the Lord Jesus, in the second chapter in the 14th verse, we read that the angels said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And they sang, "Glory in the highest." Now, it's significant and wonderful to see and to understand that we are being taught something that is enormous. When Jesus is born, the angels say, "Peace is coming to the earth." When Jesus is going to die, the people say, though they don't understand what they're saying, "Peace in heaven." Isn't that interesting? The people were caught up. And they were caught up in the imagination and the furor of the moment. And here was the king. He rode in upon an ass's colt. And he rode in upon that colt. And as he entered the city, they saw him weep. But they praised God. They laid their coats in the way. And they took the branches of the palm trees. And they said, "Peace in heaven. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven." Why they say it? Because there is a warfare, says the Apostle Paul, that goes on in heaven, and that warfare is between man, or rather, between God and Satan. And this warfare that is continually toing and froing across the heavens is over man, that man might be captivated. But God has won. And the only argument and the only wrestling that is going on is literally in Satan's mind and heart. For he knows his days are numbered. He knows what his end shall be. He knows that he has no ultimate weapon over man any longer. For death is swallowed up in victory. And that victory is in Jesus Christ. He once died to take away all sin once and for all. Now look at this peace. This is the peace that comes and generates from heaven. It came to earth in the likeness of a babe. It came to earth in the likeness of a teenager growing up. It came to earth in the young man that put himself under the authority of his parents. It came to earth in this young man in his early 30s or 30 thereabouts and starting a short 3-year ministry. A man who didn't travel beyond 200 miles around his home. A man that didn't write a book, didn't go to college. A wonderful man called the Son of Man, who is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And these people, when they saw him enter into the city, they said, "Peace in heaven." Why peace in heaven? Because the scripture says that the heart of God is holy. And man can never approach that holy place. A man can never come into that place with such holiness, for man is basically sinful. And God would veil his face from man. And so we discover God no longer bringing retribution, but rather reconciliation. God no longer casting man off, but now causing man to be justified. For the Lord Jesus is glorified, and Satan is defeated, and God and man are reconciled. There is truth. There is peace in heaven towards us. For God says that his wrath is not poured out It was absorbed by Jesus in his body on the tree. He became like a dishcloth, in a sense, absorbing all the sin that was spilt and all the anger of God that was poured out. All of it. Every piece was absorbed by Jesus. Now there are some very obvious thoughts about peace, the peace of God. John tells us in the 16th chapter of his gospel, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Jesus is saying in the gospel of John, there is only one way to the Father. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've got to learn to enter in at the gate called Strait, for the way is narrow. It is narrow. Now it's true that people see God in different guises. It's quite obvious that people think they can worship God at any place, at any time. However, and let's get this really straight, they may worship God with their religiosity, but with their hearts they may never approach him. With the words of their mouths they may make some supplication, but the heart is deceitful and abominably wicked. It is such a terrifying area of our very lives. And until we enter in at that gate straight, until we walk that narrow way, until we are with Christ Jesus, we are in need of salvation. Desperate need. And there is no peace in our hearts until we observe the peace in heaven. Hallelujah, they cry. Blessed be the name of our Lord. Peace in heaven, said mankind, hardly knowing what they said. You see, this peace of God is for those who know that they are justified. The apostle writing in Romans 5 tells us, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God has got peace in the heavens because of the finished work of Christ. Man made a little lower than the angels is given the great grace of God, is given the great love of God, is given the great expression of the Father, is embraced and cuddled and held by God the Father. Man who can understand that simple statement can begin to embrace all that it means to have peace in the heavens. No longer will Satan wrestle for your soul, because when you believe in Christ, he has to give up. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. He has no more control, no more dominion, for Christ becomes our mind. The control of Satan dissipates. There are people who become Christians, and somehow they drag with them a chunk of their past life. And somehow they manage to think that by involving their past life with their future life, they have a present joy. There is no such things. The old things are passed away. Don't think that when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, that those old things can linger on. The Bible says they may not. They may not. Behold, all things become new. And those of you that hang on to those old things that are not of Christ, beware, my friend. Beware. For it may be that you have a pseudo-salvation. It may be that you have yet to get yourself absolutely right with Jesus Christ the Lord. No way do I want to undermine your thoughts about your personal salvation. In every way do I want to make you positive, so that you can say, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. When Jesus came as king, they said, peace in heaven. So that the apostle could say later on, for me to die is gain. Can you say tonight, for me to die, to lay down this flesh is gain? Not many can say it. We fight for another hour. We struggle for another day. We long for another week. Hezekiah wept for 15 years. And up to the time of his weeping and asking for those extra 15 years, Hezekiah had been a righteous man, a man that God was pleased with. But in the 15 years extra that he was given, he became a man that God didn't care to walk too closely with. What a shame. What a shame. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It is this wonderful peace of God is for those who are spiritually minded. Again, in Romans 8:6, we discover the words that are so beautiful. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The guilt of my sin is gone. The guilt of my terror is gone. Because Jesus hath given me peace with God. In the heavens there is peace because of Jesus the Christ. See it from man's point of view. At Christmas we see it from God's point of view. Now let's see it from man's point of view. From God's point of view, it was peace on earth. From man's point of view, it is peace in the heavens. Do you know this peace? It is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is the peace of God that fadeth not away. It is the peace of God that endureth forever and ever. It's your peace, bought by Jesus, given freely to man. These people were singing. They said, as Jesus was walking in as king, as he rode in rather as king, as Jesus saw them and wept over them, they were singing, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in the heavens." Notice the great strident word, peace. We at peace with God. You see, this peace is for those who are the objects of prayer. Says Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." Those means that are spoken of there are the means of nail-pierced hands, thorn-crowned brow, the lashing of a scourge, the prophecy fulfilled of Isaiah when he says that God saw the suffering of his soul and God was satisfied. We sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." Do we receive that peace? See, our Father has given us great peace always by all means. And our Father saw the plight of you and I. Whether we're young or elderly makes no odds. God saw our plight and our dreadful need. And he knew that we couldn't save ourselves. And he knew that we couldn't come to him easily by ourselves. So he stretched out his great and mighty hand. God so loved this world, he sent his only begotten Son, that you and I that are in the process of believing in him would not be in the process of perishing, but that we should be having, living, moment by moment, everlasting life. This peace. Why, it's for those who allow themselves to be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Colossae in 3:15. He says quite simply, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let the peace of God, let this peace that comes from the heavens rule in your heart. Let it be. Let this be the principle of your life. Let this peace rule your heart. We discover in Colossians 1, verse 20, that this peace is for those who recognize the way of peace is through the cross. The way of peace is through the cross of Jesus. In the cross of Christ, I stand. And all other ground becomes sinking sand. All that we could understand and grasp the meaning. Here is the meaning. Quite simply discussed for us. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. The cross of Jesus towers o'er the wrecks of time. It's that old rugged cross that never, never alters, never varies. You see, it's a fact that those trusting in Jesus Christ have this peace. Paul said to the church at Philippi in 4:7, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Jesus made peace with all that was at enmity with man, so that there is no longer enmity with God to those that are trusting Christ. Are you trusting Christ? Do you know this Lord Jesus? Do you know the peace of heaven infiltrating and filling your soul? It's yours. It's ours. For the peace that was made in heaven could never be dissipated by the sin of man, nor could it be contaminated by the attitude of man. It is in the heaven and out of reach of man if he would destroy it, within reach of man if he will receive it. Have you received this peace of God? Hey, listen. When God wanted to express himself to us, he did so in his only begotten Son, in a babe. And the angels had to sing on behalf of the babe, "Peace on earth. From now on, man on earth shall learn what God's peace is all about." When Jesus was about to suffer and was about to be buried and about to rise from the dead, when Jesus was about to ascend into glory, why, the people that had viewed his ministry for those 3 years, had watched him grow up through the 30-odd years, they sang praises and they said, "Now in him is the fulfillment, the full orb sphere of the peace of God stretched out in the heavens." Do you know that peace? Do you have that peace? It's yours. For God so loved us that he gave it. Do you see some of the teaching in this verse? And there's so much more. But it's home time. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we love thee. Yet we find our love so weak and feeble. Yet we find a need to reach out. Lord, fill our hearts and fill our lives with this great peace of God that passes our imagination. We ask that someone here tonight might simply, Father, lay their hearts wide open to thee. But though they've known about thy peace may flood their souls. We ask these things, for we love thee. Amen.